You're listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Gene here at the new Classical FM. Now, the old saying goes, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family.
Right.
And that's true to a point. I mean, the family has to start somewhere, right? With two people making a choice to be together. And that's also the beginning of acclaimed poet Ian Williams' debut novel, Reproduction, published by Random House Canada. It starts with Felicia and Edgar, two very different people who meet in a hospital while looking after their ailing mothers. And it spirals outwards, configuring, reconfiguring, and expanding on what exactly is a family in this day and age. And Ian Williams joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the family is a long-held plot device or background throughout the history of literature. But with this novel, the sense I got after I was done it was that you've taken a very different tact on it and almost... I don't want to say scientific or mathematical, but you start with two people, okay? Mm. And while you're not only following them, you end up exploring the after effects as their union spirals outward into the world, picking up members in increasing numbers. Mm. In fact, it lives up to the name of the novel.
Reproduction. Right. It actually begins as a boy meets girl story, right?
Yeah,
as most of her families do. And so it starts really, really simply in this kind of familiar, how are they going to meet? Are they going to meet cute? This is like the opposite of a meet cute, right?
Boy, I'll say. Yeah.
And so they meet and then they're brought together, right? Rather than kind of choosing to be together. Mm-hmm. When does your circumstances or these coincidences cross over into like your volition or your choice? And so they're brought together and eventually they are kind of forced to be together. And some choices are made, and then the consequences span the next 40 years.
Right.
And, you know, how many of our parents or our grandparents were in this kind of situation of, like, needing your significant other for a while?
Right.
And just being caught into a lifetime with this person. It's really a beautiful and unspoken kind of contract, don't you think? Like, how we...
It is. Yeah.
How we sort of end up with people... that we may not choose.
And even if you... even if... It is beautiful because, I mean, even... Like, say, okay, like in mine or Gene's instance, you know, we both have kids with other people. Mm. Although you're not with those people, you're still tied to them because of the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of tie or that kind of connection, it's a different kind of relation, right? And love isn't all just warm, fuzzy feeling. Like, you could still... have like past love for someone, right? It doesn't have to be like present or active, but the love that you had at that moment is not totally erased by your present feeling. And so, yeah, I actually think that contract is really beautiful. We're speaking about love in these like scientific terms or mathematical terms or contractual business terms or what have you, because there's a lot of feeling in the book and there's a lot of like mushy emotion and things like that. And sometimes you need to sort of like encase that in something a bit firmer. To offset or to balance that, all that sort of swirling feeling.
Right. Mm. I mean, you certainly capture, you know, going back to the reproduction title, I mean, the evolution of a family. I mean, because the book starts in the 1970s up to the present day. Mm. And you really show that a family is a very fluid construct that's not constrained to notions of numbers or stability or even race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like the family that you start off in, right, if you think about your own family, is not the family that sort of manifested itself in your teen years and certainly when you get older. Like, families aren't this fixed and stable things. I know there are parents who try to sort of preserve this idea of family. Yeah. Like, we are the, I don't know, we are the Williams clan or what have you. But it's constantly morphing, right? It's constantly shifting because your parents are growing and the siblings are changing. And so it's dynamic. Even if it's not as extreme as what happens with Felicia and her son, even just a sort of regular... old-fashioned family is constantly kind of evolving.
Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. The other neat thing about this novel, I think I'm the only person on radio who uses the term neat.
I love the word neat.
I do too.
It's neat. I mean, neat. Just the construction of the novel, it starts off looking and feeling like a conventional novel. Mm. But then it veers off to resemble, in some places, a poem, a screenplay, an instruction manual. I mean, that's really cool.
Right. There's a bit of a script in there. It's cool. I don't know if it's anything radically new. I mean, like, the modernists 100 years ago were doing this, right? Yeah. James Joyce. And, like, so they've been playing with form. And then I think there was sort of a conservative streak somewhere in the middle of the last century. and like the old-fashioned novel sort of dominated again.
Yeah.
But we're back to places where we can play, right? So I don't think about it in terms of like hardcore experimentation, but just playfulness. Mm-hmm. Just kind of enjoy the forms that we're working in. Enjoy your fashion. Enjoy your
enjoy
life
your
in general. Enjoy your choices, right? Just kind of celebrate everything that you can.
Did that help free you up?
Absolutely.
In writing this?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you could sort of approach writing a novel as, I am going to write a novel, like, in giant capital letters, right? And it will be the great Canadian novel.
Exactly.
Right? Or you could sort of approach it as, I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to have fun doing it, and I'm going to show up at my desk every morning and love these characters and love this world. And why else do it, right? If there's no pleasure in the process or pleasure
right.
in the result.
Right.
And think about the pleasure that you're going to give someone else afterwards. There's a kind of like erotics to writing a novel, right?
Wow.
There's a kind of pleasure that where after in the process and in the reception of it too. So
it's definitely a relationship, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is with yourself and
yes.
with the world. And it's mm-hmm. just you've got to enjoy that and be playful and not be so stoic and formal and stiff about, I am writing a novel.
Right. Well, I mean, you're known for two books of poetry, both critically acclaimed, a very acclaimed selection of short stories, and now a novel. Is that an evolution, or was that, I mean, how did you come about that you know, not in caps, but say, I'm going to write a novel?
No, I just kind of swing back and forth between poetry and prose, right? Sometimes I write poetry, sometimes I write prose, and it doesn't feel, the way I describe it to folks usually is like being bilingual, right? Sometimes you speak in Spanish and sometimes you dream in English, and you know, you go back and forth and your relationships are determined by those languages to a degree. And so sometimes I think in poetry and sometimes the stories that I need to tell are bigger, and so I need more space, and so enter the novel, right?
Was it, I mean, it sounds like, you're making it sound like it was a very pleasurable thing to take on, but was it a difficult transition?
It wasn't entirely pleasurable. I shouldn't say that. Right? Mm. It's not all pleasure and, you know, sunshine in the morning. The actual sort of writing is lots of like snowy cold days metaphorically of writing a book. Sometimes things don't work out, and you have an idea of how things should be. But it's no different from any profession, right? Like
right.
we can romanticize writing. But there's a lot of grind to it, and the victory is kind of in the perseverance.
Mm. Well, I read somewhere that 6 years in the making?
Yep, a long time, 6 years.
That's quite a discipline. Every morning.
It's long, like 6 years, right? I'm 39 now. That's quite a fraction of my life,
no
right?
Kidding.
So, yeah.
But it is almost like, I mean, going back to the notion of family, right? Mm. I mean, you have this contract with something that you love.
That's beautiful.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, that's well said, actually. So this contract that I've had with this book, right, I'm going to stick with you. But there have been projects I've abandoned, right?
I mean, tell us about that.
I've walked out on some books, you know. Like, they don't all make it to print. So,
but has I hope like a 6 year incubation period has not deterred you from going to try again.
No, absolutely. There's something in the works right now.
Ah.
There's another book that I'm working on.
That's fantastic.
Mm.
I love this. This is so refreshing to talk to you, because I've talked to a lot of authors who've been like, oh, yeah, this one was like pulling teeth, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, you have a great attitude
right. I think we take ourselves a little bit too seriously as writers, and we make it a little bit too precious.
Mm.
When, you know, writing is available to a lot of people, if you're willing to, like, do the work and spend the time. It's like sitting down at piano and playing your scales, right? Which I did as a kid. And so there's a great freedom that you get once you've done the work. Mm-hmm. Then you can sort of play around.
Well, I know a lot of people are going, because you've been getting a lot of great press, are going to be appreciating your playing around with the novel form. I want to thank you so much for not only coming in today, but for writing this book.
Oh, thanks so much.
I have been speaking to Ian Williams, author of Reproduction. This is the cover for those looking at home.
Very nice.
This is what you look for in the bookstore. It is published last week by Random House Canada. Get out there and get yourself a copy.